It's another privilege and opportunity to be gathered together to worship the Lord. We thank God for those wonderful songs of praise and worship. The Lord is worthy of our praise. Amen. Yes. Coincidentally, we're going to love of God today about how God loves us and how we need to reciprocate. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for another day, for another privilege to be gathered together in your presence. I commit, O Lord, this ministration into your hands. Ask that, O Lord, you speak through me in the name of Jesus. Speak unto edification of the saints, O God, as many as will listen and watch online. Lord, they will also be blessed in the name of Jesus. At the end of this service, we'll lift up our hands to really give you praise. And continually, on day-to-day basis, we worship you, we magnify your name because you are so good to us. Thank you, faithful God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Our main text will be Matthew chapter 13, verse 45-46. Matthew 13:45 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So the message, the title will be "The Pearl of Great Price." Amen. The Pearl of Great Price. And Jesus Christ taught the people in parables. He illustrated the kingdom of God, what it's like. Like a merchant man. Coincidentally, in this parable, the merchant man is Jesus. Amen. God Almighty himself is like a merchant man looking for goodly pearls. And go from place to place looking for the very best pearl. They are ornaments. They are shiny, you know, glistering objects. They are ornaments. But there are ones of great price. And so this merchant man kept looking for. Saw a lot of ornaments, saw a lot of pearls, but look, one of great price. Kept looking for, looking for. And when he found one, what did he do? "I found it, Eureka. Wow, I found it." What did he do? Let's see what he did. When he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. Can you imagine finding a treasure like that? And then you say, "Oh, there is nothing that is so precious like this pearl. I'm going to sell everything that I have to purchase it, to get it, to acquire it." That's exactly what God did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I want you to reflect on the love of God for you this morning. God so loved the world who were in captivity to sin and Satan. Were in darkness. In fact, in parallel verse, we were darkness ourselves. We're in darkness and we're darkness. And nobody could rescue us. Nobody could save us. But God decided to come down in form of a man to come and rescue us. For him to save us, he had to become like us. That's why God Almighty, who cannot be killed, he became a human being. And he lived on this earth and ministered the word of life. And in the end, he was crucified. But thank God for that crucifixion. Because if Christ had not been crucified, we would not be talking about redemption. Somebody may say, "Oh, Judas Iscariot is to be praised, therefore." Well, the Bible says, "Woe unto him by whom the Son of Man will be betrayed." True. That in the plan of God, that Judas Iscariot played that road, but it's not a commendable road. Amen? Yes. Thank God that Jesus Christ came. In this parable, the kingdom of God, Jesus is the merchant man. And the power of great prayer represents the elect of God. Amen. If you are an elect of God, I want to tell you this morning that you have been considered a pearl of great price. That is why God will leave his throne in heaven. That is why he will condescend to the level of man, became like a human being, and he went all the way to the cross. That cross is not palatable. I was witnessing one of these days. Then somebody just mentioned, he said, this cross, not a good one. It's not a good one. I don't like it. He said, look, actually, it was a symbol of injustice and cruel punishment. But Jesus Christ suffered that so that you and I will have redemption. Look at it from the positive point of view. Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you and I can be saved. Amen. It was not a pleasant experience for Jesus to go to the cross. Imagine when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, contemplating. Because he knew ahead, he knew details about everything that would happen. And so he was now praying to the Father. Praying. If perchance there can be a shortcut, if perchance all the suffering can be reduced, kept on praying. He prayed so much that the sweat from his body became like blood. And all disciples that were with him, they slept all, they couldn't pray along with him. At the end, what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Painful, very painful, and shameful for somebody to be tied to the cross, hung there, and then nailed. Then they pierce his side and blood will gush out, and that's exactly what happened. It was a symbol of unjust punishment for somebody who knew no sin. But because of my sin and your sin, you had to endure the cross. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He made himself no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant for the purpose of redemption. Let's go to Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Tells us what actually happened. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things underneath the earth, all over. Amen. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That's the glorification. That's what Jesus foresaw. He foresaw this glorification. He foresaw the bride of Christ. He foresaw the elect of God. That, it's going to be painful, but I can see the glory ahead, and I cannot access that glory unless I pass through this. That's what gave him strength. And that's what should give you and I strength to overcome temptations and tribulations and challenges of life that come our way today. When we look ahead and see the glory ahead, that this world is not everything. We are just passing through. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are passing through. Our glory is up there with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Suffered unimaginable torture. Isaiah 53, 1 to 5. Unimaginable. You couldn't even imagine that somebody would pass through that. But Jesus did for your sake and my sake. Isaiah chapter 53, 1 to 5. Who had believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form. He's talking about the Messiah right now. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty we should desire of him. Christ on the cross. This is a picture of Christ on the cross prophetically, even as at that time. Many, many, many hundreds of years before that actually happened. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen. He had to go that way, that route, just for your sake and my sake. In Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, we also see a picture of what Christ went through and what gave him courage. What should also give us courage today. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Can you see there? This is the reason. This is what gave him strength. What is giving you strength today to run the race? The Lord has promised us that he's going to take us home in the translation. The Lord has promised us there's going to be reward for us when we get to live with him eternally in heaven. Amen. Yes, and in this world, he will bless us to many things, but persecution follows. Those who are undergoing persecution now, they should encourage themselves with this scripture, knowing that this is not the end of everything. Even if our mortal body be perished, there is a glorious body that is awaiting us. And we are going to reign with Christ eternally. We are going to reign with him in the millennium and forever in the new heavens and the new earth. This should encourage us. Lord, say that we should be encouraged. Amen. When you face these challenges, life challenges, our brethren who are facing persecution now, persecution. No, we should never lose sight of our brethren who are facing persecution. Even when we are on mountaintop in America, there are places in the world, North Korea, you know, hitherto for many years, they top the list of one of the countries where you cannot really like to be a Christian because of the persecution. But Afghanistan has taken number one position right now. There are brethren there who are trapped. They are facing persecution. Nigeria is one of the top ones too. Such brethren, they are passing through their mountains and they are in their lowest ebb, the valleys. You down the mountaintop, remember them. Not only in prayers, with substance, assist them. The organization that take care and alleviate their suffering. You can be part of such organization. not necessarily by membership, but by sponsoring them. I'm telling you plain truth what you can do. Not just praying only for them. Praise the Lord. That's just by the way. But for such brethren who are passing through tough time, no, they should remember there is a reward. They should not cry. Jesus will be with them, and he's always with them, come what may. Amen. Remember, you are the reason Christ came to this earth. He left his glory just for you and me. Who are the we? We're talking about the church. We're talking about the bride. We're talking about the elect. We're talking about those who have been redeemed. If you are listening to me, you are not yet redeemed. You don't even know what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus. This is the time. You want to be in the flock of God. You want to be in the church of God. Church of God is made up of born-again believers. So you must be born again to belong to this church of God. People who are regarded as the pearl of great price, for whom Christ died. Amen. He saw us. He foresaw us ahead, and that gave him strength. And today, we give God praise that Jesus Christ went through all he went through. Just for you, just for me. For you and I, God of the universe, gave up everything in heaven to redeem us. You and I are so precious and so dear to God. He bought us with a price. What price? He did not just come and say, I'm the creator of the whole earth. I know Satan has held people captive. I just claim them. God be mine. No, it was not just a wish. He had to pay a price. What price? His blood. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots. That is the price that Christ paid for you. Praise the Lord. Yes. Christ paid a price for me, and that price, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. Not with money. He didn't bring money. The cattle on the 1,000 hills belonged to the Lord. So, okay, let me just give all these cattle so that I can redeem these people. It was not possible. A lamb, a perfect lamb, spotless lamb, had to die on our behalf. And Jesus Christ became that lamb. He went through all the way to Calvary to save you and save me. Aren't we glad that Jesus is our Lord and Savior? Praise the Lord. Amen. Like Israel was the apple of God in the Old Testament, Israel is described as the apple of God. Today, we are spiritual Israelites, much more so as Christ has redeemed us. Praise God. So in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, as Israel was described as the apple, that is the pupil of God's own eye. All these are figurative use of words, you know, the apple of God's eye, that the pupil, the center. Is your eye precious to you? Is your eye precious to you? God's eye is precious to him. And the pupil, the center of his eye. He said, you are the apple of his eye. What could be dearer than that? That he values you so much, you are the apple of his eye. And so he guides you jealously, jealously, so that there be no hurt to the apple of God's eye. Amen. Zechariah 2:8 is founded. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. From today, just know that you are as precious to God as the apple of his eye. Amen. Anyone who touches you touches God. I hope you don't have doubt about that. That if anybody persecutes you, is persecuting God. Anybody abuses you, is abusing God. So you don't have a battle to fight. Just let God. Amen? Just allow God to do his work. Don't claim to be like God, you know, by fighting battles like that, revenging, an eye for an eye. No, 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 no. You are the apple of his eye. So he protects you dearly. When Saul, later who became Paul, he was persecuting the church of God. He didn't know he was doing to God. But on his way to Damascus, he had a Damascus experience. And then God told him, say, who are thou, Lord? I am Christ, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Whatever you do to the least of God's children, you are doing it to the Lord. So I want you to value fellow brothers and sisters who have been redeemed because we are so precious to him. If God says you are precious, then your fellow brother, your fellow sister is also precious. Amen. Yes. In Psalm 17, verse 8, that one is repeated. Apple of God's eye referred to us, whom he, God, is extremely fond of. We are his most favorite one. Amen. God has a parental protective love for us. God's love, you know, past finding out. Just like a parent, more specifically like a mother. Mothers are just awesome. They're just wonderful. Their love for children is incomparable. I'm a father. I love my children. But in reality, my wife's love for the children, I believe the children will value the love their mother has for them more than even me, the father. It's natural. So God is so proud of you, women of God. Amen? The love that you show for your children is on record, and God will reward you for it in Jesus' name. Yesterday, we had a replay of that truth, that when you labor for them now, then in due time, they reward you. God himself will reward you. Amen. So enjoy your motherhood and be proud of it and make the necessary sacrifices. God will reward you and your children will reward you in Jesus' name. Isaiah 49 verse 15 says this concerning a mother's love. Let's read it. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget this, says the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. What this means is that God's love for us transcends even the best love the world can show. And I've told you, the best love the world can show is from a mother to a child. I told you that. That God's love surpasses that. Amen. So if a mother cannot forget her sucking child, how much more will God forget us? He will not forget us. Beside me, the apple of his eye, he said, we are engraven in his palms. We are engraven in his palms. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy words are continually before me. Why? This is your palm. Every day, for one reason or the other, you look at your palm. Yes, directly or indirectly. It's so close to you. You can't easily forget how your hand looks like and how your palm looks like. So God doesn't forget you. You're always before him. Amen? So don't think, in this trial I'm passing through, it appears God has forgotten me. You may think so, but in reality, God has not forgotten you. He's trying your faith. God can test you through trials to see how you respond. May your strength not fail you the day of adversity in Jesus' name. Yes, it does test us. Your love is tested through trials and temptations. And when you overcome, you come out like pure gold. Amen. Yes, Exodus 19, 5 to 6 also talks about Israel as treasured possession. Exodus 19 verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, says the Lord. Amen. If Israel in time of old became a peculiar treasure unto God, for whom he had not died as at that time, how much more you and I, for whom Christ has died. Amen. So his love for us, you can't quantify it. This God is awesome. Amen. So we are his treasured possession, even right now. We are God's chosen treasure. Treasure comes from a Hebrew word called sigula, a special treasure or possession. So it's special. It is used to describe a case guarded wealth, like treasure in the safe, protected for their extraordinary value and away from thieves and damages. So when you have a safe, that's where you keep your most valuable possession. Is it not so? Yes. So in those days, the kings, and I still believe they do so, their most valued possession, they are not just kept anywhere, but in a safe, to be safe and secure. That is how we are. God values us so much. We are his treasured possession. So nobody touches us anyhow. Amen. Yes, he's very much concerned to protect you. There are many unseen battles that God fights for us. Not everyone God opens our eye to see. You can see vision, dreams, and all that, but it's not everything God will reveal to you. He fights many battles on your behalf. We should be glad because he loves us. He keeps us. And there is a stronghold. You know, God keeps us in his pavilion where Satan cannot easily access. Amen. When a lady gets married in the natural, what one thing happens? She changes her name. Her name changes to the husband's name. Is it not so? Her status changes. Even in the society, everything. Her social status, everything changes. She's now one and same with the husband. That's it. You that are married, you are one and same with your husband. Don't see yourself, I'm this and that. We are one. You are one. Amen. And honor that relationship because God loves you so much. He instituted that institute of marriage and husband and wife becomes one. Now, why is the church regarded as the bride of Christ and Christ himself the bridegroom? The parable of the 10 virgins tells us that. We are not going to that. Matthew 25. So we are the one he is getting married to. We have been espoused to him. You know what that means? That is, we have been engaged to the Lord. Amen? The Lord is our suitor, and we have been engaged. The marriage supper is coming. The marriage will soon happen. The translation you go to, you know, the marriage supper. So we are engaged to the Lord. There's one song that said, I'm married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. Married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. My Savior is coming. My everlasting home. Amen. Know that you are engaged. The marriage has not been consummated fully. But you're already engaged. He has given you the wedding ring. He has put a seal of ownership upon you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He put a seal of ownership upon you. So you are sealed. Ephesians 4:30 tells us that. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Say, man, that Christ has purchased you and you now belong to him, as put that seal. Similarly, at the new birth, our identity changes. We become adopted children of God. Once we were strangers, once we were aliens to the family of God, but now are we sons of God, daughters of God indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we become new creatures, new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. Amen. We are passed from death to life. Amen. We are passed from darkness to light, and we are no longer under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. No longer condemned. Oh, we have been declared not guilty anymore. But once upon a time, Romans 3:23, say, for, you know, the wages of sin is death. He said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's the good news. Yes, once we're under condemnation, but we are no longer condemned. And neither, don't let Satan condemn you. Every sin that you committed in the time past and you've repented over it, they are forgotten. God has forgiven you. He has forgotten them. He does not even remember them. So don't let Satan, the accuser of brethren, remind you. Amen? When Satan reminds you, get behind me, Satan. Even my Lord and my Savior does not even remember that anymore. Praise God. So, feel that there's a great value. Don't have any kind of... don't look down upon yourself. But know that God has given you a brand new nature. Amen. We become the temple of God. God dwells in us. In all religion in the world, is there anyone wherein their God dwells in them? No. But in Christianity, we, you, and I, we become the temple, the carrier of God. God dwells in us. God does not dwell in temples this day, but he dwells inside of us. God is not far away from you. In other words, you live in him and he lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We call the temple of God. We are now kings and priests. You know, we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Know your position. In fact, it's a total transformation. Not that you are just forgiving your sins. You are now a new creature. We are now seated with Christ in heavenly places spiritually. Amen? Seated above principalities and powers of darkness. So, Satan is under your feet. Amen? Ephesians 2 verse 6 tells us that. Also Colossians 1 13. But let's read this particular scripture. Ephesians 1 20 to 23. Ephesians 1 20 to 23. Okay. Talking about what Jesus did. Which he wrought in Christ. God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Heavenly places. I want you to take note of that. Christ is seated in heavenly places right now. God's right hand. Position of power and authority. Amen. That's where we are also seated. If you don't know, that's why we are reading this scripture. Far above. Oh my God. Just visualize who you are. You are not an ordinary person. God expects so much from you because he has done so much for you. You are a special person. He didn't just claim you from the devil, from the slave market. He bought you with a price. Amen. But he carries some responsibility. Later on, we're going to see that. Amen. You see, for far above principality and power, and might and dominion and every name that is a name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen. Yes, 22. 1, Ephesians 1, 22. We are reading to 23. And have put all things under his feet. God has put everything under Christ's feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Oh my God. Which is his body, the body of Christ. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's who you are. Amen. You and I, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Don't demean yourself. It's true that we are not so different from other people. You know, look at our height, look at our complexion. Not instantly, but spiritually, you are somebody special. Amen. Yeah, you are somebody special. They that boast, let them boast in the Lord. Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. First John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is there, seated at the right hand of God, we are also seated with him in heavenly places. A place of dominion, a place of rulership. Spiritually, yes, we're in the kingdom of God spiritually right now. I know in the millennium we are going to reign with Christ, but spiritually we already reign over spiritual forces and power. Amen. We have dominion over them, except you don't know. If you don't know, you think that, oh, Satan still has complete authority over you. He's defeated. Amen. He's like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan is only light. But he can't do what God does not permit him to do. So you are very safe and secured in the hollow of his hands. Praise God. As he is, so are we in this world. Do you know that the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? Have you read it? That he is the light of the world. But do you also know that you are the light of the world? If you doubt it, let's read the scriptures. Matthew 5:14-16. And then John 8:12. As he is, so are we in this world. As he was filled with the Holy Ghost, so are we filled with the Holy Ghost in this world. Amen? Therefore, let's do what Jesus did. He went about preaching the good news, delivering those that were oppressed. Let's do likewise. Ye are the light of the world. Can you see it? I thought it's Jesus Christ that is the light of the world. But here you are being addressed. You are the light of the world. So are you a light? Yes, you are. Amen. Yes, what a wonderful privilege. All because Jesus Christ went through the roads, Calvary, went through and overcame. Our response to God's love, yes. They say love is reciprocal. Love is reciprocal. Show you love. It's natural. I should expect you to show me love too. It's very natural. God has loved you, has loved me so much, and paid so much price to redeem us. Do we have any responsibility towards God? Sure. Sure we do. We are to love him with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. All. Surrender all. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. All, everything, not some part. Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us that. Deuteronomy 6:5, and also Mark 12:30 tell us about what we need to do to God, to love him with all of our heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And in Mark 12:30, it says, with all your strength as well. Amen? Everything that you have, serve the Lord, appreciate him. In other words, we are to love him no matter the cost, because he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were not lovable. We didn't do anything to deserve love, but his mercy and kindness and grace saved you and me. Not because we're worthy. So, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves as well. If you say you love God, get to love your neighbor. Amen? You say, oh, I love my neighbor. I live. That's very good. That's a reflection that you love God. But if you say, I love God, but I hate my neighbor, I hate my brother, I hate my sister, that love is fake. It's not genuine. So we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, love them unconditionally, because that's the kind of love God has for us, unconditional love. We are not talking about filial love, the kind of love between friends and even between parents and children. No, it's superior kind of love, God's kind of love, agape love. Forgive others as they offend you. It's a show of love that you learn to forgive people. They offend you. We offended God. God forgave us, and we still offend God, and he forgives us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Feed them when they are hungry, your enemy. Of course, you do know, and I thank God for the ministers in this church and ministry, have the same perspective that I have about enemy. But in Christendom, generally today, you see how fellow Christians treat enemies. A senior are people that shouldn't exist at all. In one of the sermons recently, we found that evil enemies, they are positioned to help us to overcome and to triumph and to become glorious in sight of God. So, they are not weak. Nevertheless, the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 14, that we are to love our enemies. It's a new kind of love. Jesus Christ reversed it. He did not just modify that law. He reversed it completely. In the Old Testament, it was tit for tat and eye for an eye. If you hate me, I hate you. Many Christians are still operating under that dispensational truth. But it's a new dispensation of grace and truth. Amen? Love them unconditionally. Forgive them that offend you. Feed your enemy if they are hungry. Pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. So the natural man, that is strange and unusual and impossible. But remember, you are a special breed of people. You are a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. So, reason like Christ will reason. Have the mind of Christ. Amen? If you reason like people of this world, you won't pray for your enemy. No, never. Never. So, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Do you curse? You have no right to curse even your children. Say, they are my children. When we were raising up our children, it was a law in our heart that you don't curse. Never. Even if they heard it from school that people curse and all that, and children grow up naturally cursing, we don't curse. It's forbidden. Just forbidden. Those forbidden things in my house. Praise the Lord. So don't curse people. Bless them. And be prepared for Jesus. Be prepared for Jesus' return. He said, I'll go to the Father. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you again. He's come to us as the Holy Ghost. In the day of Pentecost, Christ came in one form or the other, but he's coming back again physically to receive us. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, it tells us, this same Jesus, as you see him go up, is coming back in like manner. Not as a ghost, not as a spirit. He's coming back in like manner. And we are going to see him as he is. Amen? Yes. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. One of the things we need to do, talking about our response to God's love. Say we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And then we are to love our neighbors ourselves. We are to love our enemies. And we are also to be prepared for his soon return. He's coming soon. Amen? Hebrews 9:28 tells us that we should be expectant of his coming. We should be filled with the Holy Ghost and led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Live a holy life and finish strong. Talking about what we need to do to reciprocate God's love in our life. Live a holy life and finish strong. What I mean by finishing strong is like in a race, when you finish strong, you win a prize, a gold medal or whatever it is that you aspire for. We are also going to get prizes. We are going to get rewards. Amen? Yes, but we have to finish strong. If you finish weakly, you will not get the reward. Finish strong. In other words, overcome every hurdle, every mountain, every valley. Triumph over them and make it gloriously. And the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Inherit the joy of the Lord. That is finishing strong. Amen. Fulfill God's purpose for your life. I want to round up with that. Fulfill God's purpose for your life. You want to know what is God's purpose for your life. The other time we're doing a review and contribution, but it wasn't extensive about our purpose. There is a purpose why God called, why God spared your life through all the different dangers and accidents, and you are still alive today. Through all those terrible sicknesses that were terminal, and you are still alive today, there is a purpose. Discover that purpose and fulfill God's purpose for your life. That's the ultimate way you will show appreciation for what God has done for you, by fulfilling God's purpose in your life. Amen. Now, scripture is full of scripture. It's full of the truth about our purpose and how we need to fulfill this purpose. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, has identified 5 main purposes. Why God created you. Why he spared you from all those accidents and terminal sickness and diseases, and why you are still alive. So it's not a hidden thing anymore. It's clear, and it's from the scriptures. You find out the purpose and then fulfill. Number one, or let me itemize it. There are 5 of them. Number one, worship the Lord God Almighty. 2, fellowship with fellow believers like we are doing now. 3, grow spiritually unto maturity. 4, minister or serve fellow believers. 5, minister to unbelievers. Mission. Number one, worship the Lord God Almighty. God wants us to worship him. Amen? Why must I worship God? He's the creator. He's my creator. And he desires me to worship him. Revelation 4, verse 11. Can somebody, let's read it. Revelation 4, 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created, including me. I was created to give him pleasure, to give him praise, to worship him. Not just only on Sundays, on Mondays, on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, on Fridays, and Saturdays. Amen. Every day and every moment. It is religion that tells us about Sunday worship. In fact, I used to feel bad in those days, way back over there in Nigeria, about people. You see them just once a week on Sundays. Unfortunately, that is what is happening today. It pains me because then I used to grieve over it. Oh, you see this just on Sunday, and that's all. After that, bye-bye until next Sunday. Worshiping God is not restricted to any particular date. It's not restricted to Sunday or Monday. Every day and every time in your workplace. Do you know what God expects you? He expects you to work for that your boss. That's a wicked man or wicked woman. As if you are serving the Lord. That's God's plan for you. If you know. Wherever you are working, glorify the name of the Lord. By your life and example, they'll see that you have been with Christ Jesus. Amen. So worship the Lord. Colossians 1:16. Please, can you put it up? Colossians 1:16. So with the reason God created me for his own pleasure, I should give him pleasure, glorifying him, worshiping him. By my life, by everything, all that I have, we are stewards of God's meeting. By him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for. Can you see? Let's give God pleasure in worship. Yeah. Then the second one, fellowshipping with fellow brethren. You know, Hebrews 10:25 tells us there are some people whose manner it is to forsake the assembly of ourselves. Not because of COVID-19 and lockdowns and all that. It's their habit. The Bible says so. But he admonishes you that you should not be like such people. Let's read it. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25, what does it say? 10 verse 25. It says, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some. Can you see? There are some people, it's their manner. No. That time, you know, once in a while. But exalting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So as much as possible, let us fellowship. We fellowship also online. Telephone, prayer meetings and all that is good. But there are still some people, the manner of song, not to participate. Please, why not? In the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of Hebrews 10:25, learn to fellowship with fellow brethren. Amen? In so doing, you encourage one another. In the process, you find yourself being encouraged too. You know, if the prayer meeting, some people say, oh, I don't have any need. God has met all my needs. I don't. Please pray for other people. Let God use you as an intercessor for other people. Stand the guard for those who have been persecuted. Hebrews 13 verse 3. So, a lot of things to do to stand the guard for fellow brothers and sisters. Then, number 3, grow spiritually. It is God's will that you grow. It is God's will that children grow. No, you born them, they are like baby, little children, helpless. And you see them, you watch them grow as you feed them and give them direction in life. They grow, they grow, they grow. But when they are like babies, they are just helpless. They need help. So, we don't need to be helpless. Holy Ghost has come. Amen. He will help us. He's our advocate. He's our counselor. He's our strengthener. And he will help us to grow unto spiritual maturity. But you have to grow. It's God's will that we grow. Ephesians 4 verse 13 talks about that. And by the way, God has a vision of the church that is coming for. God has a vision, or he knows what he's coming for. Not a bride full of spots and wrinkles. No. A spotless bride. God deserves that. Amen? Because he has done so much. And so anybody who will be a part of the bride of Christ has to be spotless as well. Ephesians 5 verse 27 tells us that. You know in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 to 3, it tells us we don't know us how we are going to be, but one thing we know is that when Christ comes, we are going to be as he is. Amen? Yes, so Ephesians 5, 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. That's God's expectation of you, the church, you and I. He expects us to live blameless because of what he has done for us. We need to reciprocate that love. Then, number 4, ministering one to another. Yes, we minister one to another. We serve one another. That's why we are all ministers. Actually, it comes from a Greek word that talks about servanthood. Ministry, when you are serving. Like I'm doing now. Yes, I'm serving, I'm ministering. And when you are doing your work of cleaning the church, you are ministry. When you are doing your work of singing, you are ministry. It's all ministry. It's all about ministry to one another. You know, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We serve God by serving others. God who cannot see, you serve him by serving others. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yes, we should minister one to another. It's part of the body ministry. Galatians 6 verse 10 also. So we need to minister to one another. It's an obligation we owe to ourselves. Fellow brothers and sisters for whom Christ died for. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Please, always bear that in mind. Especially, because they are peculiar people. Special, just like you are. We are in the same class. Amen? Yes. And lastly, missions, which is defined as what God wants us to do to unbelievers. Our ministry to unbelievers. Mission. We are to witness to them. God has made us to be ministers of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Your mission is your service to unbelievers. Spiritual growth. God is more concerned about your character than your career. Because you will take your character into eternity, but not your career. Can you see? God is interested in what we are doing as our career. But much more, he's interested in your character. And how do you have God's kind of character? By having the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. No? So we need to have this fruit of the Spirit in us to have the character of Christ. God wants the church to mature to that place. That's what we read in Ephesians 4, verse 13. The ministry that God has put in the church, apostles, prophets, bishops, evangelists, pastors, teachers, the purpose is that they will mature the church of God. You're not talking about denomination. That's why you should be exposed to ministries worldwide. Thank God for internet. Use it positively and participate and benefit from the ministry of God sent ministers to minister to the church of God. Church of God is not limited to a building or congregation. Amen? So be broad-minded, knowing that God's, you know, God's point of view that is coming for a bride that is spotless. And that bride is not a church, it's not a congregation. But people who, some there, who have conformed to the image of Christ. And it's one of our goals as Christians to become Christ-like. How do you become Christ-like? Have the character of Christ. How do you have the character of Christ? Imbibe the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Against all there is no law. Praise the Lord. We need to have this. They are not gifts. I may say, oh God, please. I need the gift of joy. Give me the gift of joy. Give me the gift of peace. When, as you are already reconciled with God, you have peace. You have joy. You only don't, grieve the Holy Spirit so that this fruit will abide. The love of God is there in your heart. It's embedded in your heart. The joy of the Lord is there. Long-suffering, you need to practice it. You need to develop that with in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Gentleness, if you are rash in your behavior, you are not gentle. You need to have gentleness and meekness, goodness, faithfulness, all that. Holy Spirit will help us to do this. Amen. But you have to desire, and the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yes, your identity in Christ. Now, we want to pray. We have seen that God loves us so much, and he went all the way, came all the way from heaven, became like a human being, and he went to the cross of Calvary for the sake of purchasing us. And he has done so. He has purchased us, not with silver, not with gold, not with dollar, not with euro, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, how do we need to reciprocate his love? That's what we are saying. We should love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. Because in loving our neighbor, we show that we love God. We shall love even our enemy. The Bible says so. Jesus says so. And then be prepared for Jesus' return. He is returning to those who are expecting him. We read Hebrews 9:28. You should be filled and led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Live a holy life. And lastly, fulfill God's purpose, which is said we're of five parts. Number one, worship the Lord. Not just only on Sunday, but every day and every moment. Fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters. Then grow spiritually unto maturity, Christ-likeness. Minister or serve fellow believers. And lastly, minister to all believers through witnessing. Amen. At this time, I want to give opportunity to those who have not known the Lord. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. So all these things I'm saying, we don't mean so much to you. All you need to do is to acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you are in need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you bow down, you may bow down your head and just talk to God wherever you are and ask God, say, Lord, I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Wash away my sins. Make me a child of God. I believe you died for me. I believe you suffered for me. I believe you were buried for me. I believe you rose again for my justification. And I believe you are coming back again. Give me grace to serve you acceptably in Jesus' name. That simple prayer, if you pray sincerely, be sure you are now a member of the body of Christ. I said sincerely. That's how I said it about 48 years ago. Up to today, I'm still serving the Lord and appreciating what he has done for me. So that may just be the beginning of your new life. God bless your heart. And God bless every one of us. Remember, you are God's special prized possession. And that what confronts you, what is affecting you, affects him. So be rest assured that God will fight your battles for you. But allow him. Allow him, and the victory will be yours in Jesus' name. God bless your hearts.